Let's pray.
God, we thank you for gathering us. Thank you that we can come to you again with all our failures. We come to you, God, with all our inadequacies, because you're a great God and you love us. And you accept us as we are, so we come as we are, Lord, out of obedience. So pray that your word would be powerful and mighty, and that we would glorify your name in all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, happy Thanksgiving, okay? All right. Well, turn to your neighbor and say happy Thanksgiving. All right. Well, all right. All right. I used to hate it when pastors got up there and said, "Hey, turn to your neighbor and, you know, and shake their hands and say, you know, stupid stuff." But I do that rarely, and it's Thanksgiving. And we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, and I want you to kind of open your mind and your heart to the Word of God. And I want you to reconsider what you think you know about what it is to give thanks. So when you say thank you, and what it is that you are celebrating when you're celebrating Thanksgiving, so that we can be faithful in God's command for us to give thanks. I'm going to bring 3 points to you today about what it is to give thanks. Giving thanks is to glorify God. And if the chief end of man, if the purpose of life is to glorify God, and giving thanks is the means by which we glorify God, I want your ears to perk up, because I don't want us to miss what it really means to celebrate Thanksgiving, what it means to teach our children to say thank you. That is our understanding of the Word of God matures, that when we say thank you, that it carries the weight of the glory and the weight of God. So thanksgiving in the Word of God is expressing our belief and hope in God's purposeful greatness and steadfast love in difficult and painful times. And as a result, He gives us peace. Now, I was only going to talk about that point, right? And I got greedy, so I added 2 other points. But I just want you to know that we can talk about that first point for the entire sermon. We give thanks when we feel like giving thanks. And we want to be thankful, and we want to mean it. And so when we practice giving thanks, we realize that sometimes it's hollow. And so we train our children to say, "Oh, what do you say when you get that? What are you saying? Oh, thank you." You know, and so, you know, it's like, and it rings hollow. And here's the thing. We're not just training our children to say thank you like that, because we call it manners. So we categorize thank yous into the category of manner. When in reality, giving thanks is elevated to giving God glory. We want to see that in the Word of God. Thanksgiving is not expressing what you feel. Thanksgiving is expressing what you believe. And thanksgiving is not a result of your circumstances. So we're not celebrating on Thanksgiving because God has blessed you with material goods. That's not why we celebrate. We celebrate Thanksgiving because we want to express our belief that God is great, that His greatness has a purpose, and that all that greatness with such purpose is for us. And so that every day and every circumstance, every time you have pain and face failure and difficult circumstances, you express thanks because you believe that God is great and perfect. He makes no mistakes, and that all that greatness is on your behalf for the glory of God. When you say, express that, that gives glory to God. God says, oh, I'm pleased. You're on board with my purpose. That's what thanks is. So we celebrate that. Grumbling is the anti-thanksgiving. Right? It's expressing disbelief. That's what grumbling is. Right? When you face difficult times and when you are in pain and under your breath, what comes out of your mouth, the reason why what comes out of your mouth, what does it do? It defiles you. It separates you from God. Because you are expressing disbelief when you grumble in God's greatness and love for us, for you. Right? Every time you grumble, and if you have a habit of grumbling, then you're saying either that God is not great or that all that greatness is not for you. And that every day it's up to me to fix what God could not fix. As if God needed your help. So, to glorify God then is to express sacrifices of thanksgiving, which also leads others to give thanks. It's contagious. You believe in a great God who is perfect in every circumstance. You express sacrifice. It's not just words, but it is with your life. That's why it's sacrifices of thanksgiving, which then leads others, right, to express thanksgiving also, what? In faith. So that they express thanks as a expression of their belief and hope to God, to the glory of God. Now that is my sermon. And I want you to take that journey, so we want to see that in the Word of God. All right. So, thanksgiving, when you give thanks to God, when we celebrate thanksgiving, we are not celebrating that God has circumstantially and situationally blessed us. We're giving thanks because we believe that God is perfect and that all that perfectness is for me because I love Him. Now, it never dawned on me. Now, my sister and I, we were just sitting around the table. And what's up with the junks, right? Why does God bless us so, right? Just because He loves us. There's no other reason, right? What's up with you guys? Now, this, when my daughter, right, I share with you, right, was going through a very dark period. And I was just walking because I have spent my life trying not to be my dad. To give my children opportunities that I never had because of the chip on my shoulder, right? Of all the opportunities that my friends had. And I tried to take over what was lacking in God. Now, I didn't think that. I didn't. And then God had me to remember and recall how perfect He has been in my life. That through it all, He has shaped my heart. And here's the thing. I love Him. I just love God. I don't know why I love God. I do. And I want to do everything for Him. And how do you do that in your children if that is the purpose of God? Well, God says, well, that's not. Because we don't think He's perfect. That we don't think He's great. So I want us to take a look at this video. Some of you may have seen it. It's not hard to find. Many people have seen it. And we want to be convinced that God is great. So let's take a look at this.
Ever since man first looked into the night sky, he knew that he was a part of something much, much bigger than himself. The vastness of the heavens was incomprehensible. The breadth of it all spoke of things eternal. And in looking at the heavens, man believed that perhaps he was really looking into the face of God. From Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, and night after night they display knowledge. So where are we in this place called the universe? Our moon is our nearest neighbor, 250,000 miles away. Our sun is 93 million miles away from the Earth. The solar system is flying through space at 134 miles per second, spinning as it goes. It is a part of a vast collection of stars and star systems. Scientists estimate as many as 200 billion stars are a part of this collection called the Milky Way galaxy. Saturn, of the 9 planets in our solar system, is over 1 billion miles away. It is 1,000 times the size of our Earth. Of the 200 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy, 6 billion of these stars have planetary systems like ours. Every star we can see in the night sky lies within the realm of our own galaxy. Voyager 1 is now the most distant human-made object in space. It was launched in 1977, traveling at a speed of 40,000 miles per hour. It is just now arriving at the edge of our solar system. The sun there is only 1/5,000th as bright as here on Earth, so it is extremely cold, and there is very little solar energy to provide electrical power. The fact that the spacecraft is still returning data is a remarkable surprise to our scientific community. Our solar system, containing the sun and the 9 orbiting planets, orbits the center of the Milky Way galaxy on just one of its outer spiraling arms. Our Milky Way galaxy, the home to our solar system, is just one of over 125 billion galaxies that make up the visible universe. Andromeda is the next closest galaxy. It is 10 million, million, million miles away from the Earth. Traveling at the speed of light, it would take 2 million years to reach Andromeda. Andromeda and the Milky Way form a small cluster of galaxies called the Local Group. Beyond the Local Group are even greater clusters of galaxies. Man has no knowledge whatever of what lies beyond this distance.
It took a while for me to, I think, just come to grips with this idea that God is perfect. And all that purpose, perfectness, and that greatness, to see myself so small in light of such greatness. Because when we have problems, we think, and here's the thing, we become agnostic. It's hard to believe that God is bigger than our problems. We have a problem with believing that God is great. We do. When we face with daunting circumstances and difficult choices, it's hard to believe that if we're faithful in those choices, all that greatness would be for us. And so, here's the thing. Every day, I am faced with difficult circumstances. And every day, I am desperate to see the greatness of God. I am. God, I need you to be great. I need to see how great you are, how perfect you are, and to see not just me, but me and all my problems for the size that they are. God, I need to see your glory. And You want to know why Moses wanted to see the glory of God? Right? Overwhelmed, leading the millions. Psalms 147:5. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble and he casts the wicked to the ground. Now, great. So the psalmist is taking us on this journey. So God is great and he is all powerful. And his understanding is beyond measure. So that means that when you face difficult circumstances, you're going to want to think that maybe he's not perfect. Maybe he's not for me. And here's the thing. The Lord lifts up the humble, those who believe that God is great, right? And here's what that means. Humble people, right, are transparent and vulnerable people. You know why? Because not only do they want to see the glory of God and the greatness of God, they want other people to see how this great God is working in such a puny human being. I want people to know me. Not just to know me, but to know me is to know my God and to know how great my God is. That's humility. So there is no room for duplicity. You don't have to hide anything, right? From your friends, your families, your spouse, your children. You can open yourself up. And they say, you're not such a great man. And you would be the first to say, I agree with you. I'm just a small man who serves a great God. And so the Lord lifts up the humble, casts the wicked to the ground. And what does it say? Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Express your belief and hope. Your faith is on his greatness. And that his way is not to be measured. Don't get wise and think you know better than God. Humble people don't. Don't think you have to hide yourself from people. Humble people don't. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Express this. I have to. I need to. In doing so, we will see magnifies the greatness of God. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. And here it is. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. What does that mean? Those who understand that he is great and powerful. And those who hope in his steadfast love. You know what that means? Hope. John touched upon it. That means you lean on that love. Right? That means you lean on it. You know why we become so indecisive? You know why we go through so many regrets in life? You know why we are so anxious? Because we lean on our understanding and not lean on the steadfast love of God. He takes pleasure in people who say, God, thank you. Because I believe you're great. And I believe you are loyal and loving as you have promised to me. He takes great pride in that. But you know what? We take an insurance policy out in case he's not great or in case he's not loving for us. And we would have our children take out insurance policies. Make them great just in case God is not. Make them significant. But God is not like that. He takes great delight in those who fear him and hope in his steadfast love. Isaiah 55:8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The one thing, reason I say purposeful greatness, God isn't great just to be great. all that greatness has a purpose, and it's a good purpose. And humble people are on board with that purpose. And so, but here's the thing. Mankind has a purpose because we are born in the flesh, and our purpose is visible. Because we devise purposes based on what we know and see. And God is invisible, and his ways can't be measured. And so it is difficult to trust in this God. And so Isaiah declares this, right? God's ways are not our ways. And every time we come to that point and we want to take over, we want to devise ways just in case, God says, look, whatever you're going through, whatever I'm asking you to do, commanding you to do, you got to believe that my ways are not your ways and that my purposes are good. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And here's the thing. When you become a Christian, you want the purposes of God to stand. When you are thwarted, and when you fail, and you feel inadequate, you say, thank you. Praise be to the Lord for his purposes for me. Stand! Right? When your children are plagued with failure, inadequacies, sicknesses, you say, praise the Lord. Why do you say that? Thank you, God, because he's great and he is for you. Your thanksgiving doesn't arise out of your circumstances. It arises out of how great he is. Psalms 27 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. That's us. Here's the thing. That is our destiny. Now, if that is not us, the purpose of God will bring us to that point. In Romans 8:28, Paul says it elegantly, much more beautiful than I can say it. And he says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called, what? According to his purpose. God is never without purpose. Every day is a purposeful day. It's hard to believe though, right? Things seem so random. Right? You think that your coworkers are this and that just so randomly. Right? And your focus becomes then rather than your response to them for to the glory of God. Thank you, God, for these jerks. Right? Thank you, God, for my difficult children. Thank you, God, for difficult people in our church. Thank you for the opportunity. Why? Because he's perfect. God is perfect. Do you honestly think that he missed that? Oh, man, I shouldn't have put that guy in that, you know, chain of command. God's not like that. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Why do we rejoice in the Lord always? Even when I'm being crushed. Why? Because rejoicing and thanksgiving doesn't arise out of our circumstance. It arises out of the greatness and the love of God. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Another way to translate that in Greek is gentleness. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and what? Supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And here's the thing. In the midst of the most turbulent circumstance, if you see how great God is and how much he loves you, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And you know what? That's what Job encountered, didn't he? Right? Despite all of his circumstances, when he finally saw the greatness and the purposefulness of God and how much he loved Job, Job just fell to the ground and felt so dirty for all the thoughts that he had. John 14:26. peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Your peace does not depend on your circumstances. The world peace, that's what it is. Right? I like worldly peace. There's nothing wrong with worldly peace. I think about having worldly peace. But the world can't give you godly peace. Not the kind of peace that Jesus gives. That is reserved for those who are on the path of obedience, who's on board with the purpose of God. And you're wondering, why am I so anxious? Why am I so lacking peace? You know what I say? I say, oh my soul, praise God. Thank Him for His greatness. Magnify Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:15. See that no one pays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Why is that command there? In all circumstances? And he means in all circumstances. Because there's not a single circumstance, not one situation, where that is going to be wasted in your life. Do you honestly think that you know better about having that circumstance than you? Or that you know better than God about a circumstance for your loved ones? Do you honestly have to be afraid that God is not for you? You know what God says about that? He says, if I have given you my son, would I not give you all good things? That's the proof. He gave you his son, his most precious beloved. Lamentation 3:22. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. That's why we have communion, by the way, folks. Right? So we can commune in the recalling of the love of God. And therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. You know where else uses the term, the Lord is my portion? The idea that God is your portion is what God tells Aaron. He says, Aaron, when all the other tribes and all the people take land from the promised land, when they get their lot, you will have no inheritance. You will have no land. You know what he says? Because I am your portion. I am your inheritance. And as priests of God, whatever we may gain in this life is rubbish. That's what Paul says. Why? Because God is your inheritance. He is your portion. And that's why Jesus tells Peter, if I don't wash your feet, if you don't come to me to wash your feet, when you can come and you feel like you have to earn it, delay coming so that you can gather yourself up. Jesus says, if you don't come as you are, you have no share of me. You will have no portion of me. Romans 8:38. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This thing I promise you, one thing, no matter what life, whatever, if you stay and follow God, I promise you, the end, you're going to go, God, I had no idea. I had no idea. You're going to be blown away. Just think of anyone you might love. Right? For me, when I, you know, my children, you know, It's just like, it was very difficult, right? It's just hard to fathom that God loves me like that. When my mom passed away, it's just like, and all the love, like all the ways that I wanted to bless her and all the sacrifice she made, it's like, God, I mean, do you love me like that? And it's like, you have no idea how much I love you. Let's just reread Psalm 147:5, or 11 actually. It says this, his delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. I love when he says, Henry, I am well pleased. I love that. Right? Just that big embrace. And here's the thing. It's not based on my performance. It's just the fact that I lean on him. It's like, God. Right? That's why I love the fact that I can come and try to the best of my extent to open up my life to you in hopes that you will see how great God is. Right? That you may go, God, man, what a jerk, but look at what God is doing in his life. Right? And that you will praise him. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? In believing. If you believe that God is great and that he loves you, if you lean on that, that's what hope is. If you lean on that, you'll have peace. You don't have to wonder, I lack so much peace. I feel so all inside. Give him thanks. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. See what I'm saying? You're going to abound. And you're going to say, wow, like it's real. His peace is real. I can trust him. And your hope will abound. And the next difficult circumstance will come, and you're going to abound in hope. Grumbling is expressing disbelief in God's greatness and love for us. And it separates us from God. The psalmist recalls the days of the wilderness. And here's how the psalmist summarizes that. Let's take a look. Right? This is after the Exodus, right? The days of Moses. They forgot their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wonders in the land of Ham, and awesome things by the Red Sea. They forgot it. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood in the breach before him to turn away his wrath from destroying them. Then they despised the pleasant land. If it's not this, it's another. Right? If it's not one thing, it's another thing. Right? A grumbling spirit is a grumbling spirit. Then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in his what? Word. But they grumbled in their tents. They did not listen to the voice of the Lord. You know, all that secret thinking, all that secret grumbling, right? Why? We don't believe him. We don't believe his promises. We really don't. We are almost like practical atheists every day devising ways to take out insurances against God. That's what grumbling indicates. Philippians 2:14 says, do all things without grumbling. That's a command. Like, it's not okay. It's not a light thing. Because, or disputing that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. James 5, 7-9. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. An occasional grumble, How about a habitual grumble? Right? And God is not showing you His greatness. Nor do you feel that you are loved. What God is saying is you need to be concerned. Grumbling is... when I have chest pains, right? It could be what? It could be reflux. Or it could be a heart attack. Grumbling is a chest pain, right? And you need to take grumbling seriously. Why do I grumble? That means you have chest pain. Now, it could be reflux. And it will go away and you'll not have it again. Or grumbling is habitual. And you're not listening to its sign. So that you may not be judged. This is so serious. 1 Corinthians 10:9 says, "We must not put Christ to the test as some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, nor grumble as some of them did and was destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, whom the end of the age has come." You think grumbling is just light banter? Is a serious condition. Matthew 15:10, "Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person." Be careful what comes out of your mouth. It separates. What does defiling mean? It means it separates you from God. If you continue to allow defiling things come out of your mouth, and that becomes the new normal, then you are separate from God. Now, if you don't think you're separate from God, and you allow those things to continue, and that is the new normal, and God is distant from you, things are happening in your life. There will be signs and indication that God is distant from you. You will not have peace, and you will seek worldly peace. Ephesians 4:30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you." Put it away. You know what that means? Promise God. Not going to happen again. You know why we don't make promises? Because we think we can't follow through with them. Do you think that your promises to God, your devotion to God, depends on you? Right? It's what Leo said in Matrix, right? No, or Morpheus, right? Remember that scene? It says, "Do you think that's oxygen you're breathing?" Right? If you're not a Matrix fan, it's okay. It is not up to us. When we put it away, we're saying, "God, I am devoted to a life where that is removed." And you say that in front of other people whom you have caused suffering. You do. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Put it away. Why is that so important? Because grumbling is an expression of your disbelief. You don't believe God. You don't. You know what I'm saying? It's chest pains. Chest pains. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Of all the commands of God, above all means above all. And you know who's saying that? Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without what? Grumbling. You know what that? You know who's saying that? Peter. You know what Jesus said to Peter? "Do you love me?" Because Peter was trying to give Jesus Christ his Christmas gift. I think I'm very difficult, right? I don't know. You can ask my kids. I think it's hard to give me a Christmas present, right? I don't know. Maybe it isn't. But, you know, because if you go, "Oh man, he's got everything," or maybe he doesn't want anything, you know, it's just God. No, it's not true. You guys can actually try. I mean, I welcome that. But my point is God explicit. He doesn't need anything. Peter thought he was doing Jesus Christ some favors. And you know what Jesus says? Peter, do you love me? Right? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Do you agape me? Right? Tend to my sheep. And then you know what he says? Do you even phileo me? And Peter was just hurt. And he continues on. Take care of my sheep. If you love me, and you know what? If you read the Gospels, that's everything what Jesus, it just summarizes into that. Right? And do so believing that it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lastly, to glorify God is to express sacrifices of thanksgiving, which leads others to give thanks in faith and hope to God, to the glory of God. Psalm 69:30, it's one of my favorite verses. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. Amen. Do you need to see the greatness of God? Give thanks to God. Do you know what I'm saying? Giving thanks is like taking a telescope and focusing in on something that feels so distant and bring it so near so that you can see how big God is. Thanksgiving magnifies God. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. In your difficult circumstances, in your arguments and fights, whatever you're going through, if you express thanksgiving, not because you feel like it, because you believe he's great and you believe that he loves you. Those are the only requirements. Right? This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. Isn't that what Jesus said, right, to Peter? Jesus doesn't need anything from Peter. Jesus doesn't need anything from us. He just wants us to see how great and loving he is. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who see God, let your hearts revive. Do you feel like your heart is dead? Right? It's this idea that every moment, no matter how painful and difficult it may be, God is perfect and great, and he loves you with all his heart. Thanksgiving causes you to pause before you react, right? Gives you space right there. That's what Thanksgiving does. It gives you space so that you can think, when you're aware that is the expression of your faith, and grumbling is your expression of disbelief. If you know that, you will magnify him in every circumstance. The psalmist also says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows. If you have committed yourself to the Lord, given your life over to the Lord, then do them. If he says, love your neighbor as yourself, if he says, love one another as Jesus loved you, then perform them to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. God loves to hear from those who are in the arena. You know, it's just like one of the things that I had difficulty when I was younger was devotions. QT. I had no idea or notion, right, to be on the path of obedience towards the greatest commandment in all of Scripture, to love God through loving others as Jesus loved us. I had no notion of that. Now, because of that, right, calling upon God so that I would just feel better. And here's the thing. God is merciful. I don't know how many times when you look back, I just sometimes sob at how patient and merciful he was. And yet when I face people, right, when I try to minister to people and they're just so difficult, sometimes I'm just like, as if God did not have to be so patient and loving towards me. Call upon me in the day of trouble. And he says, I will deliver you. And here's the thing. If you learn to lean on him and trust him, that's how you glorify him. You don't glorify God by becoming great. 2 Corinthians 4:11 says, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised Lord Jesus will raise also us with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. When you are oriented to the greatness of God and how much he loves you, and you pour that out into other people's lives, then they will then say how great God is. Hear what they're saying. They're not saying, oh, how great Paul is. If you take away from being in this church and say, oh, Henry's pretty good, that is a failure. And I'm glad you guys don't say that to me, right? I'm glad for one thing. When your thanksgiving, right? I say that not because I don't have a human nature that loves praises, because I believe that. I believe that it is to my maximum benefit that when I am honest and vulnerable before you, and whatever I say and do leads to your thanksgiving to God, that will maximally glorify him, and that I will benefit the most. 2 Corinthians 9:13, because of the proof given by this ministry, what is the proof? Sacrificial love. They will glorify God for your obedience to your confession of the gospel of Christ and for the liberality of your contribution to them all and to all. So, last verse. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Notice it says, for the he also says for the sake of Christ, right? Here, it's interchangeable. I endure everything for the sake of the elect. Don't think that if you endure everything for the sake of Christ, that that does not mean for the sake of the elect. It means exactly the same thing. If you can't say endure everything for the sake of the elect, but you have no problem saying endure everything for the sake of Christ, that is then incongruous. That they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we what? Also reign with him. The purpose of God for his children is that we may one day reign with Christ. Reign with him. Courageously, patiently, lovingly, givingly, sacrificially. Because why? You saw how many galaxies? I don't know what God is up to in the new heaven and the new kingdom and the new earth. I have no idea. Right? But we get to reign with Christ for all of eternity. And I promise you, every bit of this is important. God does not waste his time, nor does God waste our time. He is great. And he is up to something. But you must want what he wants. And if you are in Christ, you have to at least believe that everything he wants. Because why? He is creating you to be one with him. That means you want what he wants. That's why it's in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Right? Not as I will, but thy will be done. That, why? Because I want what he wants. I would never ask any of you. I would never ask my family to do anything that you don't want to do. Or at least that you don't believe you want to do. Everything I say, I believe you want it. Or at least I believe you believe that you want that. And so the Word of God is given to you as honestly as possible, so that we may faithfully reign with Him for all of eternity. So let's go over this. Thanksgiving is expressing our belief, not our feelings, not what we feel like. It's expressing our belief and hope in God's purposeful greatness and steadfast love in difficult and painful times. And godly peace is the result of that. Grumbling is expressing disbelief in God's greatness and love for us, and it separates us from God. And so to glorify God, which is the chief in demand, is to express sacrifices of thanksgiving. Also to lead others to give thanks in faith and hope to God, to the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just, you are so great, God. And you are greater than our problems, our circumstances that we find ourselves. Whether it's in our jobs, our work, our schools, in our families, no matter what, God, you are great and you have a purpose for everything. And so, God, thank you. So help us as we celebrate Thanksgiving that we offer up our belief, God, that we may recall, God, of your steadfast love in our lives, that we may make much of what your Son has done on the cross. God, as proof that you are for us, that you hold nothing back, that all things work towards the good of those who love him according to the purpose of your will. And so, God, renew us as we walk out of this place, as we fellowship together. Help us, God, not to express disbelief in our grumbling, but God, help us always to express our belief in all things. May you have the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.